Luke chapter 17 together. And really I want to ask, what do you need Jesus for? The answer may be wide and varied. When you're in trouble, quick prayer, get you out of this bind. When you're trying to make a decision, Jesus, I need you to give me some good wise counsel. When you're in debt, Jesus, be my provider. When you're sick, Jesus, be my healer. And it can go on and on and on. This morning we want to look beyond just small aspects of need to look to who Jesus is. And as we look to who Jesus is, to lead to a life of worship. And so in the story in Luke chapter 17, Jesus asks a couple of questions. Right at the end of the story, he says, were not all 10 of the leopards cleansed? Yes. Where are the other 9? They're not here. Only one came back to give thanks to Jesus, to fall at his feet. And behind that question, we want to look at our own hearts today and see, where is our faith at? What are we trusting in Jesus for? Jesus ends by saying, was only the foreigner the one who returned to worship and to thank God? And no one else did. It was only the one. Now, behind this story, it's coming in the book of Luke. The book of Luke begins by saying that Luke, the author, has written this, that he's written the whole book to ask a question. He says he's carefully researched everything, and in doing so, he's saying, he's telling us, he's asking the question, who is Jesus? And that's what we get in the book of Luke. And then asking who Jesus is, really it depends on what your answer is to how you'll respond to him. If he is the healer, that's what we need him for. If he's the provider, that's what we need him for. But as we look through this, it elevates Jesus so much more that will lead us to worship. So the story in Luke chapter 17 begins, and it says, Luke 17:11. Now Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. And they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Jesus, we are in a dreadful mess here. Save us. And rightly so, because these guys had leprosy. Now, the word leprosy in the Bible literally means scaly. And it can refer to all sorts of different skin diseases. And these guys, they'd gone through all the prescribed medical screening that was in the book of Leviticus, chapter 13 and 14. This long, careful prescription of determining the disease. And the local health inspectors were the priests. And if you had a skin disease, you went to the priests, and there's this whole process to determine what you had. And if it was leprosy, then you'd be removed from society. You couldn't go to the synagogue, the whole social hub of the society around them. They were alienated, and the only company they had to share was that of other lepers, of those in the same misery as them. Now, leprosy is called Hansen's disease, and it acts as an anesthetic so that you don't feel the pain. You've been to the dentist? They've frozen your mouth? Right? Your cheeks swell up, you can't feel anything, you're talking a little bit funny. You try and drink and it all comes out the side of your cheeks because you don't have the control. Leprosy acts as that anesthetic. It begins on the extremities and moves up throughout the body where the limbs begin to lose feeling. Ironic, isn't it? Because most diseases cause pain and we hate that. In fact, billions of dollars are spent every year on pain medication. 1 in 4 people suffers with lower back pain, and pain relief and the loss of work related to it comes at a higher bill than cancer, arthritis, and diabetes put together. And so, here we have a disease that takes away pain. A good thing, you might think? Can you imagine not feeling pain? What a world that would be. We spend so much time trying to avoid pain. These guys get a disease that takes away their pain But it ends up becoming their biggest curse. There's a rock in your shoe. You're walking all day long and you don't know it's there because you don't feel it. Till you get a blister and open wounds. You reach into the fire to grab the frying pan, sizzling your hand, but you don't know until you see it smoking because you don't feel the pain. Everything you do, you roll your ankle, you twist it, you keep walking, you don't notice the pain, you continue to injure yourself. Turns out the pain is a good thing. It's a warning system given by God to take care of us. It's that little check engine light. Something's wrong. Attend to that. And leprosy was a horrible reality. Not only did it attack the nervous system, but it attacks the eyes, it penetrates the teeth, it affects the larynx, so you end up with this weak, raspy voice. The skin loses its color, becomes thick and glossy and scaly around the eyes and the ears. The skin all bunches up and swells so that they say you resemble the looks of a lion. The smell from the open... you get the idea. Leprosy's bad. And it's terrible. And there's no hope for a cure. They were completely destitute. They were lost. There's no hope for a cure. And then they met Jesus. I love how stories usually go like that. Here's this guy and he has no other hope. And then he meets Jesus. Here's someone and they're completely lost. And then they met Jesus. Here's these lepers and they have no hope. And they meet Jesus. I love it that stories work like that because that reveals the power and the grace that Jesus has. Now, it seems like they would have heard of Jesus before, his power, his kindness, his ability to help. They've been in this desperate state for a long time, and so they raise their voices as raspy as they were because their larynxes were worn out. They lift their voices in this squawking choir, and they cry out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Of course they're crying out to Jesus. What other option do they have? Cry out to anyone, cry out to anything, just give us help. And then Jesus responds. Verse 14, when Jesus saw them, he said, go show yourself to the priests. Go show yourself to the priests. Interesting. Earlier in the book of Luke, Jesus actually touched a leper and healed him. He wasn't scared of them being contagious. He touched them. Now, sometimes Jesus calls people to respond in faith. He tells the blind man, go and wash in the pool and you'll be healed. And the guy has to respond in faith and obey Jesus' instructions. Other times, Jesus heals people. And he calls people to health and wholeness without a faith response. Lazarus, come out! And dead people can't respond in faith. Jesus simply gave him life. Now, here Jesus is asking them to respond in faith. Go and show yourself to the priests. And it says, as they went, they were cleansed. Not quite sure what that means. They see Jesus and they start going. Was it on the first step that they were healed? Maybe a couple steps later and then they're healed. We don't quite know. It just says as they were healed. Maybe it was 2 miles down the road, right? It was a ways later. But regardless, they stepped out in faith. They obeyed what Jesus said. They acted, and they were healed. But later, Jesus praises only one of them for their faith. All 10 of them responded in faith. On a certain level, they obeyed Jesus, but there's a distinction that Jesus calls to their faith later on. And it makes me wonder, what kind of faith do I have? I'm in trouble, I'll pray. God answers, thank you, don't need you anymore. Quick, I'm feeling down and despondent, go to church. God will lift me up, feel a little better, don't need him anymore. What type of faith do you have? What do you need Jesus for? All 10, they had a desperate need. And so they came to Jesus, and Jesus healed each and every one of them. Now they go to the priests. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priests. The priests, they're the public health inspectors, and there's this whole series of things that they have to go through. We don't hear the story. It's not recorded, but we can presume what happened. They arrive at the priests. They're healed, and they say, yeah, can you give me a clean bill of health? The priests had a series of 8 days of inspections in order to validate, yes, in fact, you no longer have leprosy. Interesting, isn't it? The priests are the very ones that have a hard time attributing anything to Jesus. And now they have to sit for 8 days with these former lepers, publicly validating, yes, what Jesus did worked. Pretty interesting. And there's this whole series of things they had to do. Sacrifices, dipping of blood on the earlobes, big toes and thumbs, birds being released into air, all sorts of purification rites, many of them highly symbolic of cleansing and of purity, all of which Jesus was ultimately going to fulfill. And here's the authorities, the priests. They probably were a little bit nervous. I don't know what happened, but I imagine the guy in their hometown was like, this is beyond me. I don't want to be that priest who tells everybody, nope, Jesus has the power because all the other priests are saying he doesn't. So send him up higher up the rank, right? Send him to a bigger town. Let those priests deal with the repercussions of that. And those ones, send him to Jerusalem. And all along the way, they're all hearing, how'd you get healed? Jesus. Looks like you are healed. I don't see anything wrong with you anymore. The whole time, the story of Jesus is being shown, it's being scrutinized, and the works of Jesus have this kind of trickle-on effect, right? Oh, I desperately want that in my own life, where people look at me and they see Jesus is doing something. And they talk about it because it's amazing. So all 10 are healed. And as they go to the priests, they're given their clean bill of health. It's their ticket back into life, into the synagogue, so that they can go to the temple, so that they can worship God. But the thing is in the temple, there's a sign, no foreigners beyond this point. One of the men who was healed was a Samaritan. You wouldn't be allowed the full access into the temple at that point until Jesus came later to open up the way. But you got to wonder, he feels marginalized. He feels excluded. He's not as good as the rest of them. He's the minority. All 10 of them were seeking the same thing. Each of them, they had a desperate need. They wanted to get healed. And as all 10 of them are healed, 9 of them got exactly what they wanted. And now, they can just go back to their own lives. Luke's gospel is answering the question, who is Jesus? These guys, they saw him as the miracle worker. Others see him as a master, a teacher, the one who forgives. Many different components of Jesus. But now that they no longer had need for a healer, they no longer had need for Jesus. They just went their own way. But when one of them saw that he was healed, he turned back. He began to praise God. He began to shout out with this loud, crystal clear voice with a new and invigorated larynx. And he falls at his feet before Jesus. He saw something more. He saw, I've come to Jesus as the healer, and Jesus healed me. Where everyone else said, I no longer have a need for Jesus, this guy saw something more. Is it because he wasn't like those other guys? He was a Samaritan, and he felt marginalized, and he saw that he had a deeper need than simply the need of healing? I don't know what it is. But for each of us, whether we have leprosy and a need, or sickness and a need, or financial trouble or relational trouble, as we humble ourselves and we realize we all have a desperate need. And Jesus is more than just a healer, more than just a provider. He's so much more. May we be like this one who saw something more. And in seeing something more, return to Jesus, and Jesus asks these questions. Weren't all 10 of you healed? I don't think Jesus is second-guessing his work and his power. He knew. Where then are the other 9? They got what they wanted. They carried on. And it's only the foreigner who returns to give thanks and to praise God. So Jesus says to him, go. Your faith has made you well. Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. And as Luke is asking the question, who is Jesus? When we know him, the answer will always lead to worship. Every single time. If we just get a tiny glimpse, maybe it's like, well, that's great. He healed me. But as our eyes are open and we see who Jesus is, it will lead us to exalt him and to worship him. So briefly, I want to touch on worshiping Jesus and the lessons we can learn from this story. And when we worship Jesus, first, by returning to him. When he saw he was healed, he came back. He returned. He looked past just the gift that he'd received to the giver who gave it to him. When he saw that he was healed, he came back. Jesus asks, where's the other 9? They got what they were looking for. They wanted to be healed. They received it. Now they have no more need. That was what was ultimate to them. Themselves, their health, self was ultimate. And it's interesting how I imagine they would have been thankful. I imagine they would have had a deep satisfaction, been so grateful, gone to the temple and worshipped God, but they walked away from Jesus to go back to their religious life in the temple. God's not in the temple. He's not in Jerusalem. He was there in the person of Jesus. And I wonder, looking at these guys, what we'd make of them. I imagine most people would be like, that's the guy that was healed. He had leprosy. And the guy would be like, yeah, it was all Jesus. I imagine he'd acknowledge it. It's God's power. It's amazing. And they get back into society. They go to the temple. They worship. They sincerely worship. They speak of God's power through Jesus. Probably a good model of people around them. They've got a vibrant faith. They're passionate in their praise. And yet Jesus is disappointed because the object of their faith, it just reveals that their greatest treasure is self. And yeah, they acknowledge God. And yeah, they do all these other things. Yeah, they go and worship at the temple. But they didn't return to Jesus, the giver of their faith. And it's not for you and I to go, which faith is which? We aren't the judge. But it is difficult to discern. And as we look at our own hearts, we want to say, what do we need Jesus for? That's not to diminish when you have a need to cry out to him, but to look beyond just the gifts that he gives to him as the giver. And when it says he returned to Jesus, it says he came back. He turned back. He returned. It's the same word for repent. Isn't that the story that we want in our own lives? To always be turning back to Jesus. Luke wrote this whole book so that we could know Jesus, to see his beauty and his power and his worth. He's so much more than a miracle worker. That is just to validate the work that he came to do on the cross. To validate, yes, he can heal the lepers. He can also cleanse your soul. And as Jesus took our sin on the cross, what a great work. When Jesus rose from the dead, he gave us a new life. Have you returned to Jesus? Maybe a better question is, are you returning to Jesus? To continually come back to him, to see him as ultimate and the greatest. And it's not just to be a self-serving of give me, but to recognize him and to worship him. Worship Jesus, first, by returning to him. Second, we see that he returned to Jesus by giving him thanks. It says he threw himself at the feet of Jesus and he thanked him. Giving thanks always moves us beyond ourselves, doesn't it? The simple act of saying thank you pushes us out, and ultimately, if we lead that down its path, it'll lead us to a praise of God. I'm thankful for the food that I have to eat. Where did I get my food? From the store. I'm thankful for the store and the people there and the guys who stock the shelves. Where did it come from? The delivery driver. I'm thankful for the delivery guy who brought it from the farm and did all the hard work to pack it in. I'm thankful that at the farm, they've got all this technology and this education to know how to plant and produce well so we can have all this tasty stuff. And then beyond that, we keep pushing. And how do we give thanks? Where does that come from? You keep pushing. It'll lead us back to, ultimately, I'm thankful to God for spinning our planet, causing the weather system so that our food can grow. Once we start giving thanks, it'll always lead us beyond ourselves, ultimately, to God. Worship Jesus by giving thanks. Make thanks a regular part of your life and be surprised how it transforms you. So we worship Jesus by giving him thanks. And finally, he worshiped Jesus by going. What did Jesus say? He told him, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." Sometimes Jesus says, "Come and follow me." Other times he says, "Go." Jesus cast a bunch of demons out of one guy and he says, "I want to come follow you, Jesus." Jesus says, no. In Mark 5, he says, "Go to your hometown, your friends and your family. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you, how he has mercy on you." So Jesus sometimes says, "Come, follow me," and other times, "Go." But as he goes, it's interesting how he went from being quarantined to now being contagious. Right? A different type of contagious. Leprosy in itself isn't actually very contagious. They quarantined him away. But now that he has been sent out, what was contagious? Everywhere he went, "Jesus healed me. Let me tell you a story. Let me tell you about this Jesus." And his praise and his thanks would have been contagious to everyone around him. You can't help it, right? Because he's just so grateful for the work that God has done. And he comes and he encounters Jesus. And then Jesus says, "Go." And everywhere he went, that would have spread. Is your life contagious? Or are you quarantined away, held back by fear, held back by insecurities, held back by any number of sins that drag us down? Turn to Jesus. He'll set you free and let you go out to be contagious in your thanks and your praise. What do you need Jesus for? Who do you see Jesus to be? I pray that this story has encouraged us to see Jesus and to recognize the life-giving power that he has. And that in our own lives, we recognize our desperate state. And we don't just call out anything, and anything that can help me, I'll take it. But we say, no, it's Jesus who gives life. So as we humble ourselves before Jesus, we worship him. We worship him by continually returning to him. We worship him by thanking him and living a life of thanks. And we worship him by going out and living a life that's contagious for everyone around us. Let's pray together. Father God, thanks for the many stories of the life of Jesus that show who he is. I pray that we can continually recognize him, and in doing so, that'll lead us to a life of worship. May you lead us to live that life of worship. In Jesus' name, amen.